Thanks for checking out the podcast, BS First. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Drop us a line. Let us know how you've been blessed by this ministry. As always, you too can experience a fresh start with Jesus.
Help them get around quicker. Sandals, Moses. See, they were in the desert, and I think that sandals helped them get around quicker. Helped them move from here to there. It actually protected them from whatever was going to penetrate their life from the ground up. There'd be shells, there'd be rocks, there'd be, you know, be hot, you know, all those things. And he says, remove your sandals. I think that he wanted to slow Moses down. It wasn't so much about the ground being holy. It was that when you approach me, approach slowly. Take your time. Don't try to put on things that get you to me quicker. Enjoy the moment of being in my holiness. And actually, the bush begins to talk to him and give him direction for his life. And every direction he gives him has to do with going back to the places where he was the most unwelcomed, never felt like he belonged, had some identity crisis. So go back to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh. Go back to your people and tell them that I sent you. And this is the plan that I have for your life. And that it's crazy to me that he wants him to be a leader and speak loudly about the places he ran away from in fear. He didn't want to be an Egyptian anymore. He was actually afraid of what he was becoming. He didn't want to identify with his Israeli nation of Israel family because they hated him because of who he was and how he grew up. He was a silver spoon Hebrew. He had everything handed him. Who would believe somebody like that? We've been out here working. You've had everything. He goes back to the people he feared based on this moment, this holy moment he had with God. Isn't it funny how in holy moments God wants to speak to us, but we want to rush through? How many times have you asked God for an answer? 2 minutes later, you say, I didn't get an answer, and so you move on and you do whatever the frick you want. That's a spiritual term. Frick is a very holy term. But you know what I'm talking about, because you do it. Well, God's not talking. God, I wish you'd tell me something. Give me some direction, something, anything. Could it be that we want a drive-through service of God's holiness? If God gave you the answer in a drive-through fashion, God, give me an answer, here's what would happen. You would run through and get your answer very quickly. You would open it up like a toy that you got in the Happy Meal and you're not happy with it because you wanted the boy toy and you got the girl toy. And then instead of obeying and doing what God said in that quick answer, you would argue with him about the thing that he asked you to do, not believing that it was what you should do or what God wanted you to do to live your best life. Don't we do that? Don't we do that? God, give me an answer. Well, why don't you just forgive them? Let it go. Yeah, but isn't there another way? I mean, after all, I mean, do you remember the story? Let me tell you about the whole entire story. And then we actually, like, create scenarios where we're, like, talking about what it would be like to forgive them. I just want you to know I forgive you for all the dirty, crappy things that you did. You're a terrible person, but I still forgive you. You're a sinner going to hell, and yes, I forgive you. God is on my side. Aren't you glad I'm here that I'm so holy that I forgive you? And then we're the other person. Well, then, yeah, and you said this. And I said, yeah, well, I'll tell you something. Nobody's there, just you and Jesus. Don't we take the things that God wants us to do, manipulate them to the point where it becomes something comfortable that we're okay with? We want a quick answer. And we're so slow to obey. So slow to say, yes, I'll do it your way, God. But God is looking for someone who comes into his holiness slowly, that approaches his wisdom, that approaches his presence slowly, that takes time to hear his voice, takes time to know him intimately, and then flips it and goes and obeys quickly. Moses stands here and argues with the burning bush for the next, I don't know how long, we got at least two chapters of him talking to a burning bush. He says things like, I don't talk so good. Well, you know over there, they know that I killed somebody, and if I go back, this is going to be bad news. I mean, what am I supposed to do if they say this? What if they, I mean, he goes every scenario. What if they don't believe me? He's like, look, man. He's like, why don't you just throw your stick on the ground? It becomes a snake. He's freaked out. I'd be freaked out too. God tells him to pick it back up. He picks it back up. It's a stick again. So put your hand in your coat. Puts his hand in the coat. Brings it out. It's got full leprosy. He's like, ah! Puts it back in. It's gone. He gives him sign after sign after sign. And finally, he's like, I want you to go and I want you to tell Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the world, go tell him to let your people go. He said, well, I know you got the stick thing and the leprosy thing. I know you got all that. And I know you said to tell the children of Israel this so they would listen to me. I was like, but I don't talk so good. He said, I'll be with you. I'll fill your mouth with the words you need to have. I'll say everything for you. You just go open your mouth, start talking, and watch what happens. He says, I don't think it's going to work. So finally, God gives in and says, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He's a better talker. He can be your boy. He'll be your mouthpiece. And so for the rest of his life, he's tied to his brother, even though his destiny was to speak. He's walking around with his brother who continually talks for him to say the things that God wants to say. Because there's three chapters of Moses not being quickly obedient to the voice of God. In the end, Moses doesn't even get to go to the promised land because of this attitude of not wanting to obey God quickly and believing and full of faith. He still makes it into the faith chapter for the great things he's done. But imagine all that Moses could have done if he would have had the approach God slowly and obey quickly mentality. Imagine what would happen with you if you would approach God slowly and obey quickly. I don't always understand it. I don't always know what you have in mind, God. I don't see the end game. I don't know what the win is here. But I do know that this, you said it, I believe it. That is a life filled with faith. But our lives are full of drive-through windows, aren't they? How many times have you said to a pastor, anybody in your religious circle, I just don't hear God? When was the last time you listened? I mean, for real. You get everything you want any given time? Yeah, give me that number five. Thank you. Okay. Man, they made me wait in that drive-through window 3 minutes. And then they put tomatoes on that junk. You know I hate tomatoes. God, give me an answer for this. I need you to show up. I need you to do this, please, right now in the name of Jesus. I mean, whatever Brandon says, by the blood, Holy Ghost, whatever. Give me something. Still waiting, God, in case you forgot about me. I mean, I'm still sitting here. Still waiting for my order. And every time you're looking for an answer, he gives you a bag full of all the tools you need to make it happen. It says, here's the instructions. Go. Faith. Faith. The amount of time that Moses spent with God, 40 years in the wilderness. Now, they weren't even supposed to be in 40 years in the wilderness. You know this, right? It was supposed to be like 13 days. They were supposed to be in this amazing place, land flowing with milk and honey. It sounds like Willy Wonka's, you know, desert. Milk and honey out here flowing everywhere. That's where they're supposed to be. 40 years in the desert because they wouldn't follow the instruction of God. I wonder where in your life you're wandering around a mountain. You're just like in the cul-de-sac of driving around in circles, waiting to leave the neighborhood because you won't obey God. You won't quickly do what you're supposed to do. You won't go where he's telling you to go. You won't say what he's telling you to say. You won't forgive. You won't get over it. You won't move on. You won't step out in faith. You won't do what you're supposed to do. You keep rehashing it over and over and over again, driving in circles. Will it take 40 years for you to? Will it take 40 years for you to hear the voice of God clearly enough to say, I'll do it? I'll do it. Here's what I noticed about Moses. Is that when he saw the bush, chapter 3 and verse, I think 3, it says that he turned aside. He turned aside. In the moments where God is speaking clearly, when you feel him, when you know him, are you willing to turn aside? I mean, like, turn off the path, like take a detour and be like, I need to chill here for a minute. God is here. Turn aside. Are you willing to take the time that it takes to be in God's presence? Because it's not simple, even though it is simple. But the more time you take, the more care you take, the more times you tune in, the more you get better at dialing that Holy Spirit FM radio dial. You know what I'm talking about? The one where you just have four numbers on there, and it's like 98, 100, 105. And you're trying to find 93.3. And you go to where you think 93.3 is, and it's not there. It's still like. And then you go like above 100, and then it's there. That's sometimes what it takes to dial into the voice of God. And the longer you go without realizing how to tune into God's presence, tune into his voice, the harder it is to get back. You get out of practice. There's some old timers, you get in their truck, they can dial it right to where the radio is. You know what I'm talking about? Like, how did you get that? Who knew the 89.2 was up by 105? You know what I'm talking about. That's why it's so funny. Spending time in the presence of God, hearing his voice in the hardest parts of your life requires tuning everything else out so you can tune in the feel of God's Holy Spirit presence in your life. Help me out, Ryan. So Moses goes on after he's heard the voice of God so clearly. And Hebrews tells us that he was concerned with the cause of Christ. For the sake of Christ. Now, that throws a loop for me because Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. I mean, not like blatantly Jesus. And so Moses is in a desert. All he knows is Jehovah. All he knows is Yahweh. Right? All he knows is God. Elohim. But he is moved to obedience for the sake of Christ, who doesn't come for another 2,000 years. So I started to look up what was the cause of Christ? What was the sake of Christ? Because Moses and Jesus had the same cause. It was from God. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says that Jesus came. I think it's on the screen, Luke. You got it? Maybe. I want you to see this. To proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Doesn't that sound like what God was asking Moses to do? That all along, God's purpose was to save his people who were being imprisoned in their lives. Could it be that the presence of God and the instruction that he gives you is not for you in a moment, but it's for generations to come? It's for the people all around you who are suffering. He sends Moses back to a people who are slaves to set them free for the cause of Christ. Could you imagine what it would be like if Moses came to set them free? Everything was paid for all the way down to the lamb across the doorpost, and the death angel comes by, and Pharaoh finally says, "You can go! Get out of here!" And every prisoner sat right back down where they were. He said, "Thank you for setting us free. We'll stay right here." We want answers. We want instructions. We want everything. And sometimes God is using you to be an illustration of getting free from the prison of things that the enemy is using to hold you back. You see, Egypt was really representative of Satan's kingdom. I'm not saying Egyptians are evil. I'm saying it's representative of the oppression that are on God's people. The sake of Christ for you is to no longer be bound by anxiety and depression. No longer be bound by pornography. No longer be bound by alcohol and addiction and approval from man. You live your life sitting there waiting for people to hit a button like you're on The Voice, auditioning for someone to give you a go-ahead, and God's saying, "I give you the go-ahead." As a matter of fact, Moses went back to free a people, but Jesus has already freed you. And you're sitting in Egypt, not knowing that your blessing is in the goodbye. It's in the getting up and saying, "It's time to go. I'm not going to spend another night here. Not another night. I'm not going to be depressed anymore. God paid for it. I'm not going to have anxiety anymore. I'm not going to go through that fear prison that I have to go through every single week. Every time something comes up, I get so scared." You're going to stand in the confidence of God, and you're going to find the blessing of Jesus Christ, who's come to set his people free, and you're going to march out of Egypt today. Most of the obedience is in the goodbye. We're far too comfortable with sin. We're far too comfortable with the things that we embrace as stuff we have to deal with, stuff we have to live with. This is just the way it's going to be. It is what it is. When Jesus says, march out of that place. Satan has you building his pyramids. It's your anguish. But the cause of Moses and the cause of Christ were the same thing, to set you free. To set you free. Today, I don't know what it is that you're imprisoned by. I don't know what you're living with. But I do know this, you don't feel at home. Every time you go to that thing, it's like, this is not me. You feel like seventh grade Brandon. 9th grade Brandon, 12th grade Brandon, 3-year-old Moses, 40-year-old Moses. I know this is not my place. This is not where I belong. This is not my identity. They have put this on me, but it's not who I am. And it's time for you to stand up, because the blessing that God has for you is in kissing it goodbye. The gift is paid for. It's yours. It sits in front of you, but you won't open it. You like the place where you are a little too much. Moses said, "I'd rather be mistreated with God's people than enjoy all the pleasures of Egypt." And we say, "I'd rather sit right here and wait for God to do it than be obedient to the thing he's asked me to do. Just to walk away. The goodbye. No longer bound. No longer in prison. No longer Satan's little minion, no longer controlled by the powers of darkness, but living in the light and the goodness of God." That could be you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of prisons you have owned. I don't know where you sit with a key in your hand, but won't unlock the gate. Some of you are so imprisoned by memories of your past. bitterness that you're living in, thinking that somehow it's going to get even with the other person if you don't let it go. It's not. It's time to move on. It's time to stand up. It's time to walk out of Egypt and live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. He loves you more than you'll ever know, and he gave his life to prove it. You don't have to be good enough for this. You don't have to be spiritual enough for this, religious enough. All you have to do is say yes to God and be obedient to what he says. If you're here today and say, I need that, Brandon. I want to say goodbye today. I need the blessing of goodbye in my life. Would you raise your hand with me? Thank you. It's time to be done. Satan, we stand today and say, we're leaving. We're out of here. We're free by the blood of Jesus. Never again. Never again. Father, let your Holy Spirit empower us. Give us wisdom and direction. Let us be obedient with every fiber of our being. Slow to access your presence and to spend time with you. And quick to say yes. Quick to walk. Quick to go. Quick to step out with all the faith that Jesus Christ gives. Thank you, God, for being the power of our life. The jet fuel for our engines. We go. Today, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing, all that you are, and everything we can be. And we stand in who you are in us, in Jesus' name.